Welcome to Leadership Loyalty Tips for Executives, part of the Full Monty Leadership Interview Series. And these internal podcast tips, videos, cool things for you. If you're a new listener, I want to thank you for joining us. And if you're a regular listener, I want to thank you for making us number one in the Fortune 500 category and the human resource category. And of course, always at the top in leadership and business. Appreciate you for doing that for us. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing the show with everybody you know. And let's get into today's leadership and loyalty tip. When you think about your organization, you think about what it takes to create loyalty in an organization, you've probably come up with some things about what it takes. And one of the things that when I ask that question generally with the leaders that I work with, what does it take to create loyalty? Very often the answer is salary. And although that's true, there is a degree that matters too, that's not central. Some people will say, well, okay, well, then it's the ability to climb the corporate ladder. That counts, but again, not too much. The corner office, well, absolutely not. That no longer is it. So what is it that creates loyalty? And you may think, well, I don't have to worry about that because we've got that covered. Well, let's take a look at something called the invisible factors of loyalty. The invisible factors of loyalty, the first of which would be trust. And trust, the invisible factor of trust is safety. It's safety, the ability to create a safe environment. People will be loyal to you if the environment they work in is a safe, emotionally safe environment. I want you to think about this. If you and I were to get in our time machine and go back in time, and we were to interview a guy by the name of Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon.com. And let's go back in time just to the beginning of 2015. And let's ask him, does he believe that the work environment is a safe work environment where there's a lot of trust? I'm pretty much guessing that he would have said yes. Amazon is definitely a place of trust and safety. Now, you may be familiar with not so long ago, very recently, the New York Times did a big article on the workplace, on the Amazon workplace, in which they absolutely thrashed it, said that it was a place where you would be eviscerated, you couldn't speak out, people lived in threat. And it was pretty horrible, this New York Times article. Now, Bezos did not respond to that article directly. What he did was he sent an internal memo inside of the Amazon organization. And he said to people, if this is the case, if you indeed do work in an environment, the environment is like this, please write to me directly, and gave his email address. Right there, the fact that he asked his people to send him a direct email suggests that he truly believes that the Amazon work environment is a safe place. The problem with that is that you cannot internally audit trust. You can't audit trust from the inside because you're never going to get the truth from the inside. So what that means is that of course, I don't know the details of this, and I'll be honest with you, but I will bet that there was very few people who actually wrote to Bezos and said, yes, the work environment sucks, because it wouldn't feel safe to do so. But the fact that he asked for people to do it suggests that he believed it. So there's a misalignment there. Does that make sense? So now let's think about that for a minute, because I want to help you get the tip and the understanding of this. Think about, again, you may or may not have seen this, that article came out, and within a few days, a young leader inside of that organization took the time on a sunny Saturday afternoon to leave his family and spend the day in front of his computer to write a 4,000-word response on LinkedIn, a 4,000-word article on LinkedIn, in which he talked about how wonderful it was to work for Amazon. So you say, well, which one's true? Well, what if they're both true? What if the people who gave the information to the New York Times, it's true for them that it was a horrible environment, and where this young leader works, it's a wonderful environment. Clearly, there is an inconsistency in the culture. That's evident. Evident. What's clear to me is that there's amazing invisible factors that affect the success DNA of the environment that this young leader works in. And clearly there is just as many invisible factors of viruses going on, energetic, emotional, cultural viruses going on in the rest of Amazon. And if those are not cleaned up, of course, they will infect even the area where this young leader works. But thinking about this for yourself for a moment, imagine if Amazon was able to investigate what are those invisible factors that build the success DNA that create the independent leadership of that young man, of people like that young man, to step forward and become evangelical about the organization. Imagine what would happen to that company if that was spread throughout Amazon.com, the organization. Now, the challenge with it is, and this is my tip for you, the challenge with it is this. If Amazon did that themselves, would anybody pay attention? I would challenge you that's somewhat doubtable, and I'll tell you why. For a good many years, a friend of mine, John, was my promoter in the city of Detroit. Loved going there because I get to spend time with John and his family. See, when I was there, I would stay in his guest house. He had a guest house in his house, which meant I got to spend a little bit of time with his family, you know, dinners and stuff. It was wonderful. And after a particular time there, I came back. I was back for a few days. And John called me, and he was a little upset. And he wanted to know what I had said to his eldest daughter, who was 15 at the time. I needed some context for that. Didn't know what he meant. So I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, she's dumped her, in quotes, loser boyfriend from California. She's got rid of three of her crappy friends. She's doing an hour and a half to 2 hours of extra homework a night. And she's just informed me that she wants to go study Latin in Rome after she finishes high school." That's great. That's wonderful. So I now tell him what I told her. And at which point you would expect John to be happy, but he's not. John actually got more upset and said, "That's exactly what I told her. Why the hell wouldn't she listen to me?" And my response was, "Because you're an idiot, John." Because you're an idiot. Now, of course, he's not an idiot, but a wise man is a fool in his own environment. A wise man is a fool in his own village. She couldn't hear him because she knew he had an agenda. He was a dad. I wasn't. She could hear me, even though I was saying the same thing. So the thing for you is to understand that sometimes it's in your best interest to get what it is that you want done, get it across by bringing in somebody else. Imagine if that would have happened, if that happened now at Amazon, if somebody went in and investigated Amazon, somebody who actually understood what to look for, had that level of expertise, to go in and look at the psychological, the cultural, invisible factors that create the success DNA that generates an evangelical leader inside the organization, and then was able to share that with the organization, imagine what that would do for your organization. You see, right now in your company, you have teams, you have leaders who are performing way beyond anything of anybody else. And there's a good chance that some of that stuff you look at and you think, they're doing this. It's obvious. But there's so many things that if you look at it, you know, it's like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't actually get it. I don't know. What are the invisible factors? Bringing somebody in who can identify that, who has that objectivity, is extremely powerful for you. So next time you're considering trying to implement something that will shift the culture, remember, a wise man or a wise woman is a fool in his or her own village. My name is Dov Barron. I'm the founder of Full Monty Leadership. You can find me at fullmontyleadership.com. If you are serious about really generating a lot more, not only loyalty, but fierce loyalty in your organization so that it upgrades your productivity, remember, your ROI is your people. Your return on investment is your people. You've got to get them loyal to you. If you're really serious about that, reach out to me. You can find me at fullmontyleadership.com. Until next time, stay curious, my friend. Stay curious.